Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host and president of Global Outreach Mission. Today our text is taken from 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, which say, "My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. We have a lawyer with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." This verse, in a nutshell, is really the gospel. It tells us that in heaven, we have an advocate, we have a lawyer, the Lord Jesus. And of course, the Lord Jesus is the one that went to the cross and bore our sins and took our place and paid for the sins. Not only our sins, but it says for the sins of the whole world. Now, when we say that, it doesn't mean that every person in the world have their sins forgiven. Because when Jesus died, he died basically for those who will believe. But we have to realize that Christ's death is sufficient for all, but it's only efficient for those who believe in Christ. Not everyone will be saved, but Jesus offers salvation for all who put their trust and faith in him and in him alone. And when we ask Jesus to come into our heart and we're sincere about that, then several changes take place, but our sins are instantly forgiven and we have new life and we have eternal life with Jesus Christ our Lord. This is Reverend Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go, sharing updates from the mission field. This week, Mission Moments will focus on Mission Go's continued direct outreach to build the local Christian church globally. Here are samples from the mission field. Jeff Hackett is one of our missionaries who works internationally in many countries. In one of his recent reports, he wrote to the office, "God works all things together for good and his glory. Even when things seem wrong, God often works them together for great things. Recently, a power outage at our missionary's church and a power surge melted a switcher panel for their light board. They did not know this then, so they asked a tech guy from another church to help them. He could diagnose quickly, and it was only $130 to replace. You might think that was a blessing, but the real blessing concerns what they had been praying for. They are renovating the church, which will require an HVAC professional and electrical work. They tried so hard to find someone, but to no avail. However, through this tech guy who came to help, his dad, who does HVAC and is a licensed electrician, stopped by the church within 15 minutes of the call. His dad will do the work and give them a considerable discount. He is a believer. God allowed a bad thing to happen to connect us with people who meet our needs. Our God is so good. We must always look at obstacles as opportunities for God to work." From our missionaries in France, Jeff and Alex Lopes. We have a story from the field from a contact of an MGO missionary, Katya. "It's been over 2 years since I returned home after a church absence of more than 20 years. My church provides a beautiful space called L'Atelier Alfred, a Christian community cafe. This place is a valid mission field, and it's in this context, among others, that the missionaries do life with people. On my first visit to the cafe, I was welcomed by two missionary couples, James, Corrine, and Steve, and Faye. Corrine showed me around the church adjoining the cafe, a visit that changed my life. From that day on, I felt the burning need to return to God. With Elodie, a missionary pastor, I could exchange ideas on personal and biblical subjects questioning me. Also in the cafe, Jeff was there one afternoon on my way home from work after a difficult day with thoughts running through my head. He was available to listen, and I also benefited from his biblical knowledge, thanks to which we could exchange ideas, particularly on the theme of forgiveness. Faye suggested I join a growth group this year, and she's been a great support. Sherry, a Canadian missionary, is co-manager of the Atelier Alfred Workshop. We have proposed a Sunday morning prayer meeting at 8:30 a.m. She is also a great support in my spiritual growth. I can't say enough about the privilege of having all these missionaries around me at church. Thank you so much to those who pray and financially support their efforts. Katia, from one of our veteran missionaries in England, David and Jean Foster. They demonstrated the unconditional love of Jesus Christ to hundreds of London Metropolitan Police and staff. Through the numerous police events their church catering team hosted over 12 years, and through David's continuing ministry of serving as a London Met police chaplain over the past 14 years, the London Metropolitan Christian Police Association CPA, in which both Jean and David still actively participate during their monthly ministry trips to London, have had some potent prayer times together over the past few years. Please join them in praying that many police officers and staff will come to experience for themselves and to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. NIV Ephesians 3:18-19. Our young Canadian couple, Peter and Valerie Limmer, in Japan. Over the past 2 months, a deaf couple has started attending their church, Seaside Chapel. One of the church members knows some Japanese sign language and initially translated for them in services. However, this quickly became impractical because she was also a significant church leader and felt pulled in too many directions. Peter has been working to set up an automated translation system that displays real-time transcriptions of messages. This is no small problem, as there are several technical barriers to the church's setup, so it's taking quite a bit of time and experimentation to figure everything out. Also, most transcription apps don't do well with the Japanese language, and even worse, with the Christian language, which uses a specialized vocabulary that most apps don't recognize. They're still experimenting with the best technical setup and software to use, but they're getting there. Over the past few months, other deaf people have also come to Seaside Chapel, and two deaf Christians have even given their testimonies in the services, with translation into spoken Japanese. Having already learned some American Sign Language, Valerie has been participating in a Japanese Sign Language club. The deaf people who lead it seem to appreciate her and some other church members' keen interest in learning to communicate with them. Please continue to pray for these active missionaries serving so far from home, but wanting to be servants to our Lord Jesus. These dear people would not be able to stand in these places without prayer partners. So please pray for the missionaries of Mission Go today that resources will allow them to stay on station. Blessing to all those listening to these reports from around the globe. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners. This month, we are offering Chronic Illness and Disability, God's Peace in the Midst of Pain by June Hunt. June is an author and counselor and founder of Hope for the Heart, a ministry that changes lives with resources translated into 36 languages on 6 continents. Are you feeling insignificant, deprived, even resentful? Those recurrent side effects of chronic illness, your doctor failed to mention, although you try to see the bright side, Your outlook is often overcast by the chronic nature of your condition. While others appear to enjoy good health and vitality, you struggle for sensible answers. Have you asked, why is this happening to me? How can I help others when I can't even help myself? Is God punishing me? Has my sin brought on this condition? If I have enough faith, will God heal me? Even with chronic health concern, you can experience the soothing balm of God's peace as you apply the biblical prescription for victorious living. And as you do, you can bring encouragement and hope to others who also need God's peace in the midst of plan. To order your copy, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Postal Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R77, or in the U.S., P.O. Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231.
Still answer prayer and show his mighty power in the same wonderful way.
Paul and Silas in the jail at Philippi, they would not defeated be, but at midnight prayed and sang to God on high.
Soon an earthquake set them free in the same wonderful way. The same wonderful way. God can still answer prayer and show his mighty power in the same wonderful way. Through the ages, when the saints in faith would pray and for God's blessing,
today's message is from Reverend Art Larson and is entitled, Jesus is Precious. Printed copies are available upon request.
What is precious to you? The dictionary defines precious as having great worth or value, beloved or cherished. Possessions of the powerful or famous, no matter how common, can become extremely valuable, even priceless. Napoleon's toothbrush sold for $21,000. Can you imagine paying thousands of dollars for someone's used old toothbrush? Hitler's car sold for over $150,000. Winston Churchill's desk, a pipe owned by C.S. Lewis, sheet music handwritten by Beethoven, a house once owned by Ernest Hemingway, all were sold at many times their intrinsic value. At Sotheby's auction of Jackie Kennedy Onassis' personal belongings, her fake pearls sold for $211,500. And John F. Kennedy's wood golf clubs went for $772,500. Not because the items themselves are worthy, but because they once belonged to someone significant or even loved. The Bible says, "Unto you therefore which believe, he," that is the Lord Jesus, "is precious." Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is precious to believers. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. Now, most people know little of the preciousness of Jesus Christ. Now, hear me out this morning, because I'm talking about that which is true reality. No one craves the taste of ice cream unless they know what ice cream tastes like. And many do not find Jesus precious because they've never tasted of him. David wrote in Psalm 34, 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is gracious, that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." And no matter how much people read about Jesus, they learn little about him unless they allow the Holy Spirit to take God's precious word and reveal the truth about Jesus to them through that word. Now, you might ask today, why is the Lord Jesus Christ precious? Well, first of all, because of who he is. He was and is perfect man and perfect God. He was not man lifted up to deity and not God simply brought down to humanity, but a union of the two in such a way that even in our finite minds we might understand a bit of the fact that he is the God-man, not God living within man, but God in human form. Jesus Jehovah became at the incarnation at his birth what he never was before, but will never cease to be. On God's throne, now, at the center of the universe, there sits a man who is God, the God-man. No man on earth can find the dividing line between the deity and humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though we cannot understand this great mystery of the God-man, we can believe it. In the Lord Jesus, we have what exists nowhere since the fall of Adam, an absolutely holy, perfect person. His uniqueness standing out before and above all others on earth. That makes him precious. Who is he? Well, he is the sovereign Lord. The Bible clearly teaches in John chapter 1, in Hebrews chapter 1, in Colossians chapter 1, that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That by him all things consist or are held together. He is before all things. He's the sovereign Lord. And he is also the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, the one whom the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." He stepped out of eternity into time, came from heaven to this earth to become our sovereign Lord, became the Son of God. And then he is also the Savior of the world, for he came here to die for our sins. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved," Acts 4:12. And then he's the suffering lamb, the beautiful picture in Exodus chapter 12, when the children of Israel were literally redeemed out of Egypt by offering a perfect lamb and putting the blood on the doorposts of their home, above and at the sides, forming a cross. And God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And the death angel did not visit those homes, for they were under the blood. So when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world." And someday, Revelation chapter 5 says, people of every tongue, tribe, and nation will sing, "Worthy is the Lamb, for he has redeemed us to God by his blood out of every tongue, tribe, and nation." He is also the supernatural one, because though he died on the cross for our sins and was buried, he rose again triumphantly the third day. He had said, "No man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." And he rose again, defeating sin and death and hell and Satan, and is the one, as he said, who liveth forever. "I am he that was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." He is the resurrection and the life, the supernatural one. He is also our shepherd priest, interceding for us, daily making intercession for us, because he ever lives to do that, Hebrews 7:25. And if you can say, "The Lord is my shepherd," he's the good, the great, and the chief shepherd, then you can say, "I shall not want." And he's our soon coming king. Two men stood by when Jesus was taken up from the earth and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again as you have seen him go into heaven." Paul writes in 1 Timothy 6:15, "God in his time will openly reveal who is the only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of Lords. Yes, Jesus Christ is precious because of who he is, but he is also precious, secondly, because of what he has done for us. In almost every community, you'll find a statue or maybe a picture of someone who has shown a spirit of sacrifice, who has tried to help others while forgetting themselves. You go to the grave of soldiers and you find their monuments. There is memory of what others did for humanity. But our Lord Jesus Christ, far more than giving his life in a war or maybe in view of someone else's life, the Lord Jesus died for the sins of the world. He gave himself for all mankind. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is heaven's gift to us. He is precious for what he has done for us. He is purity and wisdom and peace and joy and every quality of perfect character. And every bit of that is transferable to every believer through Jesus Christ. He takes my sin and gives me his merit. Why? Because he, God, made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a wonderful exchange God made for us, traded our filthy rags of sin for Christ's righteousness. Oh, the preciousness of that fact. Does that grip you, my friend? I can and I have brought to Jesus my rags of sin and have received a royal robe of his righteousness. I can bring my defilement and get his purity. I can bring my ignorance and get his wisdom. For the Bible says, in him, Jesus, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I can bring my sorrow and get his joy, my weakness and get his strength, my sorrows and sadnesses and failures and loss and get his restoration and his very life. Yes, Jesus Christ is precious because of what he has done. But he is also precious because of what he is doing in every believer now. Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. An evangelist told of a man who met one of his old friends on the street one day. His friend said, I haven't seen you lately at the tavern. No, he said, and you'll never see me there anymore. I have become a true Christian, and I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart. What? Exclaimed his friend. Do you believe that old story of Jonah and the whale? Yes, I believe it, said the man. Do you believe the stories about miracles in the Bible? Yes, he said. Do you believe the Lord turned water into wine? Yes, of course I do, said the man. And then he continued, if you come down to my home, I will show you how the Lord has turned liquor into carpets, into chairs, into an organ, has turned drugs into good dresses for my wife and for my children, and given me a job that I can stay at and be respectable. Here was a man in which the very Christ had taken up his abode and controlled the man's very life. The Bible truly says, if anyone be in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things become new. But Jesus is also very precious because of what he does through us. Some of the happiest moments of our lives as believers are those that remind us of someone who found the Lord through our efforts, whether by prayer or witness or whatever. Jesus is precious because he has promised to do for us so much when he comes to live within us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ liveth in me, Paul said, and the life I now live in this body, I live by the faith, or faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus Christ not only comes to live within us, but he sends his Holy Spirit to indwell us. The Bible teaches, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have of God? You're bought with a price. You're not your own. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. When the Holy Spirit is in us, he is doing all that we allow him to do in order that we may grow more like Christ every day. That's why Paul could say with confidence, Philippians 1:6, I am confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, when he returns. Jesus has promised to continue that work which he has begun until he perfects it. It's not easy, nor is it at all possible to daily grow like Christ unless we know him. But the Bible says, we all, with open face, beholding the Lord Jesus as in a glass, that is, looking into the Scriptures, we are changed forever from glory to glory. How? By the Holy Spirit. Warren Wiersbe once said this, "When the child of God looks into the Word of God and sees the Son of God, he or she is changed by the Spirit of God into the image of God for the glory of God." That's what Jesus is doing through us now. And the Holy Spirit helps us with our infirmities. Romans 8, 26, 27, "Likewise the Spirit helps our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the mind of the Spirit and searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Last of all, let me just say that Jesus Christ is precious because of what he is to me, because of what he's done for me, in me, through me, promised to do for me. He's infinitely precious because of what he is to me today. He's my personal Savior and Lord Jesus. He is my friend, my comforter, my guide. He is the husband of the bride, the church, the shepherd that leads and guards us. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is joy that scatters sorrow. Life is the most precious thing in this world. Life is the difference between the pale corpse and the hearty, healthy man. When life departs, hearts break and homes become black with sadness. Life, listen to what Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Jesus is precious because he is relevant. He comes to me. And I can never doubt that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think according to his power at work in me. Jesus is everything in every emergency that my soul and body requires for time and eternity. You see, Jesus Christ is all in all to me. I just spent yesterday playing golf with my next door neighbor. He has come to know the Lord and is growing in such grace and knowledge of him. And he said to me, "Art, Jesus means more to me than anyone or anything in this world. I love him with all my heart. He is more precious than I could ever describe, than I could ever explain." And I told him about a hymn. He didn't know it, but it goes like this. "So precious is Jesus, my Savior and King. My soul all the day long with rapture doth sing. My life with its weakness, to him I can cling, for he is so precious to me. Yes, he is so precious to me. Oh, he is so precious to me. 'Tis heaven below my Redeemer to know, for he is so precious to me." But I don't want to close without reminding you, my friend, you are precious to him, so precious that he died in your place and bore your sins on the cross, rose again triumphantly, and waits to enter your heart. Won't you receive him? And then you will know why Jesus is so precious.
Remember to order your copy of Chronic Illness and Disability, God's Peace in the Midst of Pain, by June Hunt. To order your copy, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Postal Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R77, or in the U.S., P.O. Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. For more information about the ministries of mission, go visit www.missiongo.org. Please remember us in your prayers.